Amen. Well, good morning. Oh, now I know there was a whole lot more excitement around here just a little while ago. Good morning. I greet you with Jesus' joy. Are you excited to be in the Lord's house this morning? Amen. Amen. You know what? I'm sensing there's a little excitement in the air, and I think it's more than just because of a football game. God is up to something in this place. Amen. God is up to something in this place, and He allows us to be a part of it. And I just want you to know, if you're not excited, I'm excited enough for you. I am excited to be in the Lord's house. And so if you're here this morning, you have your copy of God's Word, I'm going to invite you to meet me in John chapter 13. And over these next few weeks, actually through the month of February, we're going to shift our theme of thought to start talking about love. This is the love month. Men, February 14 is fast approaching. February is known as Valentine's Love Day. And so what we want to talk about over these next few weeks throughout the month of February is, what does it mean to be a church in the city for the city? What does it mean to actually love one another? And so in John chapter 13 is really what we're going to talk about today. What is the legacy that we want to last? John chapter 13, two familiar passages of scripture. By now you have arrived there. In just a second after I breathe a word of prayer, I'm going to invite you to stand as we read the word of God together. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies toward us. We thank you for the privilege that is ours to be assembled in this high holy place. Because God, we're reminded every day that tomorrow is not promised to any of us. And yet in your grace and your mercy toward us, we fill our lungs with your air. And so therefore we ought to worship you. For the psalmist declared, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, and Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And so now, Lord, as we turn our attention toward your word, our prayer always is that you would speak to us, challenge us, convict us. But ultimately, God, our prayer is that you will change us, continue to shape and conform us into the image of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray and ask you for it all. And the people of God said, amen. Well, stand on your feet if you at all physically able to do so, and we'll read John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Those pancakes I heard were pretty good. I didn't get any, but I heard. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's it. Amen. You may be seated. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, you will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Did you know that church people are not always loving to one another? I know not at this church. But church people are some of the meanest people in the world. And we don't always love each other the way that we ought to love each other. And so when I read this passage of scripture, there is a central idea of the text. And the central idea of the text is that out of the overflow of God's love toward us, we are commanded to love one another. In fact, the evidence that we are his disciples will be demonstrated in the love that we share with and show to one another. So the world will know that whether or not we are truly God's disciples if we love each other. So a question is asked. What do you want people to remember about you? I believe it's a question relevant to be pondered by both individual and as a church family. What do you want people to think about you as a church family? Do you want to be known as the church with great music and great choirs? Do you want to be known for the church with great preachers and great programs and a lot of activities? What do you want Raytown, Kansas City, to say about you? Last week, this time, and you've heard it and seen it on the news. A young man, Kobe Bryant, and I don't normally quote Kobe, but in all the tributes and remembrances of him this week, I saw a quote. And one of the quotes that he says is that it is the one thing that you can control. You are responsible for how people remember you or don't remember you. So don't take it lightly. And when it comes time for you to leave, leave as a legend. Amen. I like that. Because all of us will leave. But the question is, when you leave, what do you want to be said about you? Connection point, I believe that in this season that you're in, you need to wrestle with that question. Because there's four things really to remember in this text, and that is simple. In fact, it's so simple, some of you might even miss it. The first thing that we need to remember is that love has been given to us by God. See, y'all don't know when to get excited. That should have been enough to be, I should be able, we can go home right there at that point alone. The fact that God loved us. In fact, God has already demonstrated his love toward us. God has already proven that he loves us. In fact, Romans 5:8 says that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God has already proven that he loves us. And so the first thing that I think we need to recommend or to recognize and remember is that God has loved us. In fact, Jesus says in John chapter 13 that as I have loved you, out of the overflow of the love that you have already received from me, you ought to love one another. In fact, 1 John 7:4-9 says it like this: Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. And in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world that we might live through him. Listen, if God never does anything else for you, he's already done enough. And so the first thing that we must recognize, that we are deeply loved by him.
Oh yeah, yeah, come on, Pastor. Yes, yes.
And if I understand that I am loved, and that out of the overflow of how God has loved me, I have this commandment to love others. So, first thing we need to remember is that God has loved us. But second thing I think it's important for us to recognize is that we must also receive the love that has been made available to us. In fact, John 3:16, very familiar passage of scripture, says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God has provided the love toward us, but you and I must be willing and open to receive the love that has been provided to us. Amen. Because God's love has a name. God's love has a name, and his name is Jesus. So while y'all running around talking about go Chiefs, I say go Jesus.
Go Jesus. Go Jesus. Go Jesus.
Because if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl and people still die and go to hell, then what has it profited them? And so while we get excited about Chiefs and chopping and did I do it right? So while I'm excited about all of that, I ought not be more excited about that than the fact that he loves me. And so if God never does anything else for us, he's already done for us. In fact, the truth of the matter is, you will never fully know love without Jesus. And so if you're here today and you've been struggling with your identity of not feeling loved, I've got good news from glory for you. He loves you. He has already demonstrated. God has demonstrated it by sending his son Jesus, and he offers his son Jesus as a gift of love to you. But you've got to be willing to receive it. So love has been demonstrated, but love also has to be received. But once I receive the love, I have a responsibility. This command from the Father that out of the overflow of how he has loved me, I have to love you. And you have to love me back. Thank you. Love you too. As a believer, you have no right to not be loving to everyone. You have this divine mandate and responsibility to love people that you may not even like. You don't have to like their lifestyle in order to love them. You don't have to like their political connections in order to love them. Now, many of you are clapping, but many of you have this audacity of not liking people and not loving people because they vote differently than you. I know it's tight, but it's right. I don't love you because you agree with me. I love you because he loves you. And because he loves you, I love you. Even when I don't like you. It's so simple that I believe many of us miss it because we think everybody has to agree with us. Everybody has to believe the way that we believe. And I'm simply saying it is not so. Because God loved me in spite of me. And I know he doesn't always like me. Because I don't even like me most of the time. And yet God is reminding me to remind you that we are deeply loved by him, and out of the overflow of the love that we sing and celebrate about, we have a responsibility. Connection point, you have a responsibility to be loving to your city. And you demonstrate your love for your city by being a church in the city for the city. And not simply trying to get the city to come to your church. So, love has been given, love has been received. But then thirdly, love has to be displayed. It has to be demonstrated that I have a responsibility to be loving, to show what love looks like in the way that I love other people, in the way that I serve people. So, love is a verb. Love is an action word. Love is not just talking about it. I love you. No, show me. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13 says it like this. I love the way Paul writes this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have no love, I have become like a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove or move mountains, but I have no love, I am nothing. Let me just stop right there. It doesn't matter how many programs you put on. It doesn't matter how many things you do in the church. If you are not loving people, it does not matter. You can serve pancakes till Jesus come back. But if you are not loving people, Loving people who are far from God.
Yeah, come on, Pastor.
Because it's easy to love people on Sunday morning. It's a whole lot harder to love folk out there. And so what Paul is saying is that you might be doing all of these things, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. He goes on to say, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have no love, it profits me nothing. Why? Because love suffers long and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. So the question is simple. How are you demonstrating the love of Christ? It's a church question, but it's also a question of individuals, because this is not Connection Point. You are Connection Point. And so if Connection Point as a church family is going to be known as a loving church family, it is only going to be when each member of the family is displaying the love of Christ in their sphere of influence. So I don't have church on Sunday morning only. I'm church on Monday morning. Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. And I know you're saying, but you don't know my coworkers. You don't know the hell that I have to endure. And here's the truth of the matter. Sometimes you have to love the hell right out of people. Because love has been given. Love has been received. And I have this responsibility to display love. Why? Because the fourth thing to remember is simply this. Love is what reveals who we are. It's right here in the text. Jesus says in the 35th verse, by this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. They will know who you are and whose you are by the way you demonstrate your love to them. And more increasingly, we live in a world where people have a negative perception of what Christianity is. When they think of the church and Christianity, when they think of Baptist and Southern Baptist at that, their perception and their perspective of us is less than favorable. We're known more than what, for what we're against than what we're for. In fact, when you say the name Christianity, more and more people are being repelled and pushed back away from. And some of the negative perspective and perception they have of the church is because of you. Because of the way we speak. Because of the way we act. Because of what we post. don't have a right to not be loving. You don't have a right to not be loving. So what we need to do is we need to recognize that the people that we come in contact with have been created in the image of God. And they are deeply loved by Him. And because He loves them and He loves me, He commands me to love them even if they don't love Him. And even if they don't love me back. Because as we continue, and you'll hear this again, love recognized that I have a responsibility to love, and love doesn't need to be loved in return. God so loved the world, not just America. Not just Missouri. The world. And everyone in the world. Time is far spent, but I'll share this with you. I was talking with a group a few months ago, and they were talking, they were bragging about all the stuff that they were doing around the nations in missions. They were going here, and they were going there, and they were ministering to people in faraway lands all over the world, and they were bragging and boasting. And I said, that's wonderful to celebrate. But the same people were picketing, and you have to hear my heart, they were picketing to keep people that they administered to in their country out of their country. Now, I know you don't see the hypocrisy in that. So they were going to a country and they were telling the citizens of that country, God loves you. And He sent me to tell you He loves you and He wants a relationship with you. But some of those same people started looking for a better life. And they started crossing the borders into this country. And some of the same people that they went to their country to tell them about the love of God, they were out picketing, telling them, why don't you go back home? And they were saying, but wait a minute, you came to my country and you said that God loves me and that He has a plan and purpose for my life, and He sent you to me over there. So I thought that I should just come over here, and if I was gonna really fully appreciate the full love of God. I know y'all don't see the hypocrisy in that. But we are the only people. We are the only people who will go and tell a people that they're loved as long as they stay there. But when they come to the very place where people went to tell them of the love, they are not shown the love that they received when they were in their own homeland. Listen, we don't have a right to not be loving. I understand the need for safe borders. I understand the need for laws and legislation. I understand all of that. But these are people loved by God. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, I believe they were on His mind just as much as I was on his mind. So, love has been demonstrated. Love must be received. And out of the overflow of the love that I receive, I have a responsibility to display the love, because love is what reveals who and whose I am. And so we're in Missouri, the show me state. In fact, I was looking up a quote. U.S. Congressman Willard Duncan Vandeveer, in 1899, during a speech in Philadelphia, stood and made this bold declaration of Missouri. I come from a state that raises corn and cotton and cocklebirds. What is a cocklebird? That's what he said. We raise corn, cotton, and cocklebirds and Democrats. That's what he said. But this is what I like. He said, frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. And so if I could speak to you, church family, from the citizens of Raytown and Kansas City, talking about being a church in the city for the city doesn't impress us. You got to show it. Not merely by pancakes and programs. You've got to show it on your job. You've got to show it in your community. You've got to show it everywhere that you go. Because by this, all will know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another, and if we learn to love each other, may it be said of us that those are a people who both love God and love people. Amen. That's the kind of legacy you want this city to know you by. Now, you may be here today, you're saying, I don't get it, because you've never truly accepted the love that has already been given to you. Listen, you can never truly know love without Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, let me invite you to make the most important decision that you can ever make in this life. And that is to place Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. And so if you're here today and you've never made that decision, can I invite you to step out on faith and come to Jesus? The ministry team is moving into place. The prayer counselors are moving into place. And I want to invite you to make the most, to take a step of faith and make the most important decision of your life. In fact, it is a decision that's so important, it won't only affect this life, but it will affect all eternity. And so if you're here today, and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, will you come to Jesus? These men and women are standing. They'd love to show you and share with you how you might make that most important decision. Or maybe you're here today and you know you don't have a church home, and God is leading you to this place to join with brothers and sisters in Christ to walk in faithfulness. Maybe you need a church home. You've been visiting Connection Point for years. Why don't you come be part of the family? The altar is always available. If you're here and you know that there's some areas of your life where you've been walking in disobedience to God, maybe you need to come and do business with God at the altar. The altar is always open and available to you. But whatever God has so said, now is the time to respond.